Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, guess what? A little closer to home today with my good buddy Inspector Dave, and today's show is all about composting. Inspector Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Always great to be here in the Joey B studio.
Well, you know what? And we always joke about this, but it's like we're in the studio. We know we want to be in the outdoors, but our job is hopefully to educate some folks so when they get in the outdoors, their life's a little better, a little easier. So here we go. What actually is compost?
Well, compost is a naturally occurring product that we can make ourselves. It's a organic breaking down, natural breaking down of all materials that we can find in nature. And it's a nutrition product that we can make to add to our soils in our garden.
All right. Hey, and that's actually a very good, simple answer, but a great answer because we can make what nature makes too. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So why do we compost?
Well, we compost so we can cut down what we're trucking off our property. Like we have leaves on our property and grass and different elements that are part of the compost pile. So it's a way for us to not put everything out on the curb or to take it to a dump somewhere. We're keeping it on site so we're being self-sufficient with our property.
And you know something? Our landfills keep getting filled up and filled up, and there's so many things that we can prevent from it going there. And as you're saying, this is one of them. So is compost part of a recycling program in your home?
Yes, absolutely. We think of recycling as our bottles and cans and all that, but we're actually recycling the green and the brown elements that are on our properties. And it's a way to keep things again from being put on the curb and then a truck having to come by and take it away. And so we're cutting our carbon footprint down a lot by keeping our carbon on the property, basically.
And that's cool because, again, there are so many of the listeners out there that keep saying, how do I decrease my carbon footprint? And hey, here's a major way to do it. So how can composting save us money?
Well, first, again, by getting trucking all that product off the property, if you have to take it yourself somewhere to a dump, you're saving yourself time and energy and wear and tear on your vehicle. Or if your municipality is picking it up, your taxes go up because they have to charge you to take that off the property. So it can save us money that way too. And also we're making our own product to add to the soil in our garden so we don't have to go to the nursery and buy bags of pre-made fertilizer compost because we're making our own for nothing.
Oh, it's amazing. When you go to the nursery, there are skids and skids filled of compost. Well, if you can make it, then why not make it? And as you're saying, it saves your money. So here's my deal with you. Can anyone compost?
Yes, composting is pretty simple to do. As long as you have a little yard area, you know, away from the building and all that, it's very easy to do this. And in some of the bigger cities, they're actually running centralized compost piles. So you can take your waste from your kitchen scraps and anything you have to a site, and then they will compost it there and then return the composted material back to gardeners or whoever has a need for it.
Now, let's talk about your house. Where do we establish a compost area?
Well, there's two things. You want it convenient, and convenient in two different ways. First, you want it convenient to the house so that you can get it out there year-round, because you want to add things to your compost pile year-round. So you want it near where your door is, but not too close to the house because of any smells or bugs that you might get. And you also want it near the garden so that when your compost is finished, that it can readily be spread out over the garden area where you're going to use it. So you want two types of convenience: convenience to get to it, to feed it, and convenience to spread it out when it's all finished.
You mean in the cold winter months, I'm supposed to go out there and add to my compost pile?
Well, sure. We make things for our compost pile waste all year long, so why wouldn't we save it? It's not going to break down quick in the winter, but at least you can stockpile it so when the weather gets warm, the compost pile will start to speed up and it'll break down.
Well, I'm obviously kidding about that because I'm out in all types of weather. Will my compost pile, does it smell and attract bugs?
Well, a well-run compost pile should not get too much smell. I mean, occasionally if it gets a little out of balance, you'll get a little smell, especially if you put a lot of green in there and not enough brown. So that's just a matter of stirring it up a little bit and adding a little more to bring it back into balance. And bugs, you know, bugs are part of the breakdown process. So you would get some fruit flies and different little bugs and worms and critters inside the compost pile doing their thing. Some are microscopic and other ones you may see them flying around. But the main thing, as long as you keep the pile current, active, and stirred up, you'll have a limited amount of bugs. But again, that's why you don't want it right next to your door or your window, you know, where you're putting the compost outside.
Well, I got to say this, and a compliment to you, and obviously we're going to get into all the way to actually compost, but anytime I've walked past your compost pile next to your organic garden, there's never been a smell to it. So compliment to what you're doing, but hey, that's the reasons why you're the expert here. So here's another. We both are fishermen, and there's many fisherwomen out there as well. Will we see any worms?
Yes, you should see worms. If you have an active pile that's doing its thing, you will see some worms in there. Some people add worms to their compost pile, but that's just a sign of a good, healthy pile, and it's also the worms are helping to digest or to compost things. Some people actually have worm composters under their sink, and that's something else when we talked about what can people do. You can do a small little box underneath the sink with newspaper and vegetable scraps and coffee grinds and put some worms in there and actually compost, you know, inside the house.
Will that one smell at all?
No, it should not. Again, you want to keep track of what you put in there, but you're not putting grass clippings, and those are the things that would get maybe a smell if they get too far out of balance. But regular clippings, certainly keeping a little bit of newspaper in there, that controls the odor big time.
Well, you also said this, and you've said that a few times, and the word is balance. And if we stay in balance, isn't it like life? If you stay in balance, then you're okay. And I think that's what you keep referring to there. What are some things we can use to make compost pile walls?
And the reason we would make walls, to back up a little bit, is just so we'd have a designated area for the compost to contain it, to keep it neat. So some people use bales of straw. They use fencing, wire, different ways, whatever way you can make like a barrier, container, screening, just to have an area that will, cement blocks that'll contain it so you can work in that area so it's not being spread all over the lawn. And it helps to control the moisture and air a little bit.
This show is brought to you by Barkerstown Brew, the advanced hydration drink for dogs. 6 natural great flavors. Go to BarkerstownBrew.com. Now, what about composting bins or accelerators?
Well, I like people to use these, especially if you have you're in an urban area or you know you're not out in really in a rural area where you're going to have critters around and neighbors nearby. The accelerator bins help to really control the odor, control the critters big time because they'll be closed on the top and the side, so the critters won't be coming around because you're going to have food scraps in there. So you want to use those accelerators, and they speed up the process. So if you're the impatient type and need to have compost quickly or several times during the season, it's a real good way to accelerate the process because it keeps the heat in there, controls the moisture. And these bins come in different shapes and sizes. They're usually made of recycled plastic of some type, but there's wooden ones you can buy too. Usually they come as little kits and you put them together. If you have a green committee in your town or a farmer's market or some group like that, or environmental group, they may also be selling these accelerators at a very reduced price at cost. So that may be another source locally for you, or a garden center, or you can buy them online or even at big box stores.
Now, you mentioned it, and I like that because think about this, if some of them are made of recycled materials, and then we're going to recycle and create compost, and then that carbon footprint you're speaking about, well, our footprint just got a little smaller there. That is pretty neat. Are there any special tools for composting?
The main thing when you're doing a compost pile, you need to turn it to aerate it once in a while to get oxygen into it. So some people use like a pitchfork or a hay fork. That's a way to do it. I have a tool that you just kind of plunge it down through the pile, and then there's little wings that open up and then I pull up on it. And that's a way to stir things up and to get air pockets down inside the pile so it doesn't get matted down or packed down and get lazy. You want to bring air into that pile. Just like we need air to survive, a compost pile needs air also.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned that with the pitchforks or your tool that you're using. Can this be part of an exercise program?
Well, certainly there's some physical labor there with turning the pile over. If you have a bigger pile going and you're turning it, then there's certainly some good work going on there. They also have compost balls, I guess you would call it. It's like a round or a square ball that you can take it and you put the compost in like a little hatch, and then you push it around the yard to turn it over, and it has little things inside that help to stir it up. So that can be exercise for you, or it's a great way to get the kids involved too. You know, they go out, push the compost ball around the yard a little bit so they get a little exercise and they feel like they're part of the garden and helping out.
Well, it's, as you mentioned that one, there's a local high school that has one of those balls, and that's actually how they compost, and you'll see them moving the ball, and that's a pretty neat thing. So this is, I guess, people listening, they're going, all right, so now I know where I can buy it, why it's good. So what are some of the things that we can put into a compost pile?
You want to make sure that you're putting organic matter into there, because organic matter has to be able to break down in the pile. So some of the things are our vegetable scraps or scrapings from our kitchen when we're cleaning our vegetables and our fruits. They can all go in there. Any matter from the yard, whether it's your grass clippings or leaves from trees or bushes, those are all good. Small little sticks, they help again to keep the pile open so you get air in there. And then newspaper, just black newspaper, no colored newspapers, even though most of the color stuff now has vegetable based dyes in there. I still stay with the black and white scrap newspaper and shred that up and put that in there. And that disappears amazingly quick when I put it in there. I can't believe how fast that breaks down. So those are all good things to put in there. And then just any other things you find around the garden. Weeds can go in there as long as the pile's hot enough to destroy all the seeds and all that. Don't put any disease things that are in there, or disease plants would be bad to put in there. But those are just some of the things to get you started. But anything that's green and has nitrogen and organic matter to it, that's a good way to start.
And as you mentioned about the newspapers and tearing and breaking down, there are a number of people that raise worms. And you could even go online and they'll show you raising worms, and they strictly raise worms. It's almost in pure torn up black and white newspapers. It's pretty neat. So another way of using those newspapers or recycling those newspapers. So can we empty vacuum bags and shop vacs into that pile?
Well, depending on what's in your shop vac or vacuum. Certainly if it's just standard dust from around the house, those are just your skin cells and hair. Those are all fine things that'll break down in there, and dirt that you vacuum up. But if there's any glass in the vacuum bag, obviously you don't want to put that into the bag, or nails. If you're using things from your shop vac, again, what are you vacuuming up? If you're vacuuming up paint chips or plaster chips or pressure-treated wood or anything that has toxic substances in it, then shop vac stuff would not be anything you'd want to use in there. You know, rock salt in the garage or whatever when you're cleaning your car in the winter. So anything that is toxic in nature, you would not want to put into the pile.
But if I was just doing some woodworking and just had some sawdust and things like that, that would be good for the pile?
As long as it's standard sawdust. Again, not pressure treated, not painted or shellacked or varnished or anything like that.
All right. And well, speaking about that, what are some of the things we don't want to put into our compost pile?
Well, again, a lot of people think about their cat litter boxes and clean up after their dogs, and those are an absolute no-no, because there can be different things that are in the cat feces and the dog feces that are bad pathogens that would not break down in the pile and can transmit disease to humans. So those things do not go into the pile. And then also, again, we talked about anything pressure treated like that, anything really diseased, anything with a lot of seeds on it. Because unless you have a really hot pile, those seeds will continue to sprout when you use your compost. So maybe a way to keep down your seed sprouting. Any hay that you may have that has a lot of seeds in it, that might be not indicated to do that. And then just anything that's toxic, you know, don't put salt in there. A lot of people, you know, I'm going to sweep my sidewalk. Well, if there's rock salt or other ice melters in there, that would not be a good thing to put in there. You know, things from in your car, you're tracking all kinds of chemicals into your car, possibly on your shoes in the winter especially. Those would be bad things, you know, to put into the pile.
Well, what about, I've just had this great meal and a bunch of vegetables, and I had a steak dinner, and I've got some, you know, leftover trimmings, fats, whatever from the steak. Is that something I can put in there?
You should never use anything like bones or meat. That's a good point there, because you'll attract a lot of the type of critters, rats and mice and all that. And greasy food would definitely stop the pile, would turn it cold on you. So you don't want anything that's pasta with any kind of sauce on it, anything that has an oil on it, vegetable oil or oils of any type, from cooking with would be very bad, or greasy things. Eggshells are great. A lot of people, those are one of the number one things you can put into the pile, and they're easy to keep around and healthy to eat and healthy for the pile too.
That's a huge source of calcium that you're adding to that pile. Now, what about grass and leaves in a pile?
Okay, now these are things we need to think about where they're coming from. Just like we think about everything we're putting into the pile, the elements of it. Now think about grass. Now hopefully all of you are doing organic lawn care now, so you don't have to worry about the grass you're using having any kind of chemicals on it. But if you're not doing organic lawn, then the grass that's coming up will have herbicides on it or other type of chemicals that you do not want to put into the pile. And then the same with leaves. If you're sweeping up your leaves on the street, there may be oils and fluids in the roadway, certainly more glass and other nails and other things, screws that can be in there. So if you're using leaves, they should just come from your yard. And all types of leaves are good. A lot of people just stay with the oak leaves, but all leaves will break down well. The main thing is to shred them. Everything that you put into the compost pile should be small in nature. The smaller it is, the quicker it'll break down into smaller parts. So you want to make sure that everything is cut small, shredded, diced up, whatever way you can make it as small as you can before you put it in there.
See, and that's an important thing, because I know many people just say, okay, leaves, and they're throwing them in. But you're saying, okay, maybe it's with a mulching mower or something where we run them over, break them down a little bit, get them smaller in particle size, which, hey, is going to help things turn over quicker anyway, and that in itself makes sense. How about lime? Do we have to put lime inside there to accelerate?
I'm not a proponent of putting anything in the pile, any type of lime or any accelerator chemicals or particles or things they sell. I don't think a good active pile that's built properly needs any type of help. It'll find its own balance pH-wise, which is why you would do the lime. And accelerators, all you really need to do is put a couple spoonfuls of dirt in there or soil, and that'll have any of the microbes you need if the pile is going cold and not doing what it needs to do. They'll be naturally occurring in the soil. So you don't have to waste your money on those accelerator things.
So now here's the deal. How do we build this pile? Or some people say, well, how do we layer the pile?
Think about lasagna.
Okay. Wait. You just said, think about lasagna. Okay, I am. So wait, we're talking composting? Tell me about lasagna.
So your pile should be like a lasagna platter that you're making for yourself. You want green and brown are the two things to think about. Green being nitrogen, brown being carbon. And you want to keep those like in a nice balance inside the pile. And the best way is you want them to interact with each other. So you would do like a layer of green, layer of brown, layer of green, layer of brown, and just keep building the layers like that. And that's the best way to have a speedy pile. And then when you start to aerate it a little bit and push your pitchfork through it, or your anything that you're doing to break the pile up, that'll help to even stir up that lasagna layer even more, and they'll interact with each other much better.
I think the next time I have lasagna, I'm going to have a different view in my mind of what might be inside. Matter of fact, if I go over to your home for dinner one night and your wife says, I'm making lasagna, I got to think twice on that one. Just kidding. Now, what about moisture and air?
Well, just like any process, a natural process, we need air, oxygen, and we need moisture to help the process move along. So a good compost pile, moisture-wise, should be like a wrung-out sponge. You don't want it too wet. You don't want it too dry. Just like squeeze it between your hands like a wrung-out sponge. That's a good moisture level. And that'll rise and fall a little bit depending on how you have it set up and whether you have an open pile or have a pile in a container. If you're in an accelerator bin, you may have to leave the lid off during a rainstorm. You have to get some moisture in there, or not artificially, but just add some water, from your rain barrels, into there to help keep it moist. And then the air, again, that's all about keeping that pile turned and aerating it so that there's constantly some air in there. And that's good for the worms and all the microbes in there so that everything can really move along nicely.
And just as you were speaking before, and it's going to go back to a point, and we actually have a podcast show on organically, raising your lawn, and we actually on Joey B TV, JOEYBE.TV, They can watch about lawn care. Correct, it's very easy to do your lawn organically.
Oh, it's so simple. It's cheaper. I mean, I find it's just two steps, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then maybe a third step if we need to do lime, if we need to adjust the pH. But it's much simpler. It's way cheaper. The lawn will be much more drought tolerant. So to not go to organic lawn care, it's just, I don't know. To me, it's a no-brainer. I can't understand why people want to keep pouring chemicals on their lawn and have their kids playing there and their dogs and themselves and tracking the stuff into the house and polluting the environment with all the extra phosphorus that's in there. So it's just, to me, it's corn gluten products are just the way to go.
And where could someone purchase that product or products like that?
Corn gluten products are available pretty widely now. You go to nurseries nearby, your local nurseries. They usually have organic lawn care products now. You can go for it. Like Jonathan Green has a good line. And then Gardens Alive, they're one of the first, that's an online company, gardensalive.com. They're one of the first organic lawn companies that really started selling things online. Back, I've been using their products for like 35 years. And they have a corn gluten product called Wow Supreme, W-O-W, Wow Supreme. And it just feeds and controls the weeds. It has a natural inhibitor for crabgrass and dandelions and all that. So you get a great looking lawn with a very safe, you can go on it immediately after putting the product in there. And again, when you go organic lawn care, remember you're not trying to make a putting green. You want diversity in your lawn, different types of grass, a little bit of clover, you know, a few weeds here and there, some other odd grasses. Maybe it's not all Kentucky bluegrass, but it's all you're looking to do is just have something to stabilize the soil, cool your yard, and to help control carbon dioxide and put oxygen back into the air.
Well, you know what? And I know that that's important because you have a whole organic, if your garden's organic, if your compost is organic and your lawn is organic, well, then you're living in a healthy environment. So I just thought I would ask you that question. I thought that was important. Now, should the pile get hot or will it let off steam?
Yes, a well-balanced pile will definitely get hot, and you want it to warm up because that helps to kill any pathogens or any disease that may be in the products you threw in there, any weed seeds that are in there. It'll help to kill off those seeds so that they don't sprout when you go to use the compost. So on the certain weather conditions, yes, you may see your pile steaming a little bit, and that's a wonderful thing. That means you got a good active pile that's really converting your greens and your browns into the useful compost.
So that gets back to the word balance then. You're seeing that steaming because there's a good balance going on in that pile, correct?
That's correct.
So how do we know when the process is finished and that compost is ready?
Well, when you look at the bottom of the compost pile, and some people do different ways of composting. Some work from the top down. They just keep putting things in the top and take the bottom out through a bin that you have it in. Other people have like three side-by-side bins and they just keep turning each one, and each one's in a different stage of breakdown. But when you see that everything is broken down, you can't see little bits of your vegetables or fruit in there, that you don't see grass, you don't see anything identifiable that you put in there, then you know that it's broken down enough to use. And it should smell, have an earthy smell to it. That's another way, again, like a wrung out sponge. And then you can use compost in many different ways. Some people, like I just like to empty my bins every spring entirely and just put them all on top of the vegetable garden and then rototill that in. And that's part of my process I do to put more nutrients into my soil. Other people will use compost as a top dressing on their lawn or on their gardens, vegetable gardens and or flower gardens. So there's, as long as it's workable, you can see nothing in there that you recognize, then you know it's probably broken down very well.
What about the commercial size composting?
Well, we saw one of those. Remember, we were down at that organic farm and they had like mountains of things from the, I think a lot of it came from the horse stalls, all the hay and all the horse manure and whatever else they cleaned out of the barns. And they had these giant piles and they brought leaves in, I think from the town. And they were just set up like in rows, like big windrows. And they had a machine that would just go through the middle and it would turn everything over every so often. So they were just out in the open things. But they took, I think, several years. They had like a cycle going there. So each pile, they had like, I don't know, a couple acres of piles, I think, set up. And they would just advance through each pile and each one was in a different stage of its decomposition.
And I do remember you and I were filming on that organic farm, and like you said, it was acres and acres of rows and rows and rows, and this was a large-scale compost, obviously very different than you know, being at your home. So, Inspector Dave, the term people use for compost is they call it gardener's gold. And gardener's gold is, I guess, it's like, you know, you're looking in the Olympics, you're looking for the gold medal. Correct? Compost is the gold medal for gardens?
Yes, it is. And it can be very complex. The more things you put in, and the more variety it has, just like anything in life, the more variety you have, the more complex that compost will be and the more nutrients that will be available to the different plants that you're going to be using it on, whether it's a lawn or for vegetables or for flowers.
See, now, I indirectly reaped the benefits because you came to the studio and in your hand today were some of the crops that you picked from your organic garden that was a result of some of that compost. So for me, that was a total benefit. And two things. Thank you for the vegetables you brought in today, but most important, thanks for your knowledge, because the people out there, they always listen and they love listening to Inspector Dave share some of his knowledge with us. So I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Okay, thanks again for having me. And again, that's the miracle of gardening. You're taking a little tiny seed, you're taking soil, you're taking moisture, and nature is converting it into something you can eat that tastes good and is nutritious for your body. And then you take the scraps at the end and put them back and just start the process all over again. What a wonderful way to think about nature here.
Well, get out there, make your gardener's goal gold by composting. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.